The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Love Note Day. Tony, you got one for me?
Indeed, I do. Roses are red, almonds are nuts. I picked the Lakers. You had no guts.
You know what? We got another day. We got more basketball coming, and I'm not picking again. How you like that? How you like them nuts?
I don't like that because that's the games are we're supposed to make picks, even if we're wrong.
No, we're not a tout show. We're not, you know, we're not a tout show. We're not in Vegas. If we got to make picks, then put us in Vegas. You can be in your attic.
I don't want to go to Vegas. I don't want to go to Vegas.
You used to like Vegas when you covered the fights.
Yes, that was great then. That's a long time ago. Just make a pick every once in a while. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Wilbon and I try to figure out who's good in baseball, whether losing teams should play bowl games, and whether the Heat will close out the Celtics tonight. But we begin today with the Lakers beating the Nuggets last night to go up 3-1 in that series. 3-1, of course, is the magic number for Denver. LeBron James and Anthony Davis made more free throws, 24, than the Nuggets even attempted, 23. Wilbon, do you think the Lakers' complaint to the NBA had an impact on how this game was officiated?
Well, first of all, instead of worrying about picks, let's get some stuff straight. The Lakers did not complain to the NBA. The Lakers didn't complain by text, by, you know, note, by email, by phone call. They didn't. They had plays they could put on a website if they want clarification. That's it. And Denver did that too. So this is not like when Pat Riley and Phil Jackson used to spend an entire series, you know, complaining to the head of referees about getting more calls for Magic and Kareem or Michael and Scottie or whatever the case was going to be. Yeah. Shaq and Kobe, whatever. So, Tony, they didn't do that. Now, they got more free throws. What do I think of that? I thought there was a marginal calls. I didn't see, like, LeBron getting calls that maybe just want to turn the TV off. I didn't see that. Most importantly, once again, let's get it straight, the Lakers did not complain to the league, period.
Yeah. That's great PR for the league. I'm sure that in the league office, they're saying, look, Michael Wilbon did his job now and absolved us of any blame on this.
Yeah, I think the complaint was accurate.
I think the complaint was real. I think it had an effect on the game. And if it didn't have an effect on the game, Mike Malone wouldn't have said, we're going to complain the next time, which is what he said, in fact. Let's look at this for a second. You mentioned Pat Riley and Phil Jackson. I have notes on them, too, because I heard them complain time and time again. And why did referees ever listen to them at all if they did? For two reasons. They had stature and they had rings. This was posed to me that LeBron was upset because he wasn't going to the line in this whole series like he'd gone his whole life. Why would you listen to LeBron or look at his tapes? Because he has stature and he has rings. My opinion on these things are there's an easy way to get calls. Most calls are around the basket, Mike. Get an offensive rebound, go back up. You're going to get fouled. If you're LeBron James, go to the basket. Go up, get hit. After a while, officials are going to say, I know he's strong, I know he's great, but he got hit there. It seemed to me that the Lakers got foul calls that were legitimate.
Right, they were legitimate. So what did the complaining, and there was none, once again, there was none. And Mike Malone, by the way, put video on that website. Just like Frank Vogel or whoever handles that for the coaches. The coaches don't do it themselves. They're like you. They probably can't even figure out the video. But, you know, I didn't see it. Did you see? You said you didn't see calls that were flagrantly wrong. So what are you whining about?
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. That I saw that Malone was upset. And then on ESPN, they showed three or four plays by Jamal Murray that was said he was upset about these. There was only one where I thought there was a foul. There was only one. I mean, if this is the way the Lakers won because they were more aggressive than Denver, good.
Yeah, that's what you should be.
That's the way you have to play.
That's it was a close game, Tony. A couple of plays decided that game, and I didn't think refereeing had anything to do with it, which means I think the refereeing was pretty damn good. Believe it or not,
I think it had an effect.
We are entering the final weekend of baseball's regular season. The Dodgers have clinched the top seed in the National League, and the Rays lead the AL. Teams like the White Sox and Cubs, who appeared to be good like last week, are now struggling. Actually, they're slumping. So, Tony, as we head into the playoffs, what teams beyond the Dodgers and Rays are you absolutely, positively sure are good?
Well, I'm not absolutely, positively sure of anything because the way the season has gone, sort of the Yankees are a microcosm of it in this regard. They have been very streaky. They were 16-6, and then they were 5-15. They were 10-0, and they were 1-4. So a lot of teams did that. A lot of teams, maybe other than the Dodgers and the Rays. And the Rays won 8 out of 10 from the Yankees. I watch the National League East a lot because I'm a Nats fan. I think Atlanta's really good. I think Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Jr. are as good a 1-2 as there is in all of baseball. I think Max Fried's a good pitcher. But they get to the playoffs, and they gag. Okay? I look at the Twins. They get to the playoffs, and they gag. The Twins have lost 16 straight playoff games. You got to go back to, I think, 2004, the last time they won a playoff game. So my real answer to this is, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Make a pick. Be a man. Make a pick. Soup to nuts.
I just did the Braves.
Or whatever that silly little love sign that you wrote was.
Yeah, almonds and nuts have some guts. Braves.
I'm gonna say the Braves. I don't want to go with absolute certainty.
Me.
Like, would I go to Vegas? I'm not copying you. I'm not copying
you. You're copying me.
Listen, I want to say the Cubs. You know what what I really wonder about is what makes a difference. Like, we always look at pitching. Pitching and defense are the difference. Tony, you got to win 4. This is like the NBA and the NHL now. Baseball wants to act like, oh, it's the same. It's not the same. That's just garbage. Don't try to spin us. You got to win 4. You got a 3-game series best of, 5-game series best of, and then 2 7s. So this is more than any team's had to navigate. So, Tone, like you, I look at all these teams that are streaky, and I just, okay, what do you need now in this new format? Do you need more starting pitching? Do you need more relief help? Do you need more hitting? The Cubs are the worst hitting team, if they clinch their division, to ever win a division title. They don't have anybody hitting 200. Much less 300. I don't know who's any good.
I don't know what it means either. I look at the White Sox, and the White Sox, for example, and I'd like them to be very good. They're 7-13 against the Indians and the Twins, who are playoff teams in their own division. I look at the A's. They're in the playoffs all the time. They got no payroll. They play great, but they go out early. You know who's probably really good? The Yankees are probably really good. They got Garrett Cole. They got a fearsome lineup. And DJ LeMahieu is going to become the first player since 1902 to win a batting title in the American League and the National League.
That
so
means
the Yankees. Let's go to college
it's
football.
Impressive.
The Pac-12 is back, as predicted here. The Mountain West is back. Yahoo says the MAC is also now coming back. And with so many teams playing again, the NCAA Oversight Committee has recommended that all college teams, not just the ones with records 500 or above, be eligible for bowl games. So this is not some 6-6 team going to one of those slug bowls. This is an 0-10 team going. Well, but I can't believe you're okay with this. I can't believe it.
See, we'll see who's got some guts to go with the soup and nuts, okay? Because we work for the entity that puts on the bowl games, right?
Right.
That's where our paycheck comes from. This network is the bowl lord. And as far as I'm concerned, I should probably whisper it or get ready to run after I say this. I don't need to see any bowl games. Why do there need to be any bowl games this year? Like Tony, I love
money.
Bowl games.
The answer to questions is money.
Yeah, but how much money can there be? Like, there's not going to be any. There's no ticket sales unless there's a huge change
between
now and January.
How do you know what governors in a variety of states? Whoa. How do you know what governors in a variety of states are going to do? Let me just give you an example. Let's say Tennessee is 1-8. Tennessee 1-8. You're going to take them for a bowl game, or you're going to take 8-1 Fresno State from the Mountain West? You're going
to
take Tennessee
because
their
travel.
Fans. Their fans are going to go wherever the bowl
game
going? Is. Because this is money. Money.
Where are they going?
The NCAA
where the fans
is
going?
Greedy, and these bowl games are greedy because they're all small businesses. Yes.
Clearly, the oxygen in the attic has run out. Because you can see 20% of people at these games. I know December is a ways out. And maybe Tony, there's a bowl game, the Pinstripe Bowl, right behind me in the Bronx. They're not having any fans in any game in New York.
No,
the
actually,
games aren't
to be
all
fair,
in California. What?
To be fair, right behind you is Brooklyn. It's nowhere near the Bronx. I mean, just understand
You don't know
that.
Which direction
Let's
I'm facing.
Let's take a break.
Brooklyn is that
I
way.
I see what's
You're wrong
behind
again.
You.
You're wrong
Behind
again.
You is Brooklyn. I
That's
grew
a
up
green
in
screen.
New York. Would
That's
I tell you where Rush Street was? Would I try
right
to
there.
Do that? No, I
no,
would
you
not.
Couldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'd have even been
Let's
there.
Take a break. I don't want to be there. Coming up, will the Heat close out the Celtics tonight?
You want to be in an attic where the air is thin. Will Aaron Rodgers keep it going against the Saints? Fortune teller is next. Maybe Tony can tell where Brooklyn is as opposed to a green screen.
Every SEC team is going to a bowl. Everyone.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to peer into the future, which I see more clearly from here because there's less static in my attic. I sense the first call.
Hello, Tony. Hi, Mike. This is Ben from Parkland, Florida. I want to know if you see the Heat closing out the Celtics tonight.
I don't. I sit here all the time and I pick the Celtics to win and I'm wrong all the time. I just think they're as good as the Heat at this point. I do. Although in crunch time, Mike, I got a statistic that's a little bit frightening. If crunch time is 5-point differential in the last 5 minutes, in the 18 minutes over these games that has existed, Miami has outscored Boston 52-29. So I guess I'm picking Boston because I think they're due, but I got nothing more than that.
Well, Tony, I got a little bit more. The Celtics have led this series for 75% of the time. And the Celtics have had double-digit leads for 45 minutes. I mean, they have dominated the action until crunch time, as you just mentioned. This is why when you do stuff is often more important than how much you do. You know, I know what the caller is trying to do. The caller is trying to get me to make a pick. What did
That's
I say at the beginning of the show?
No picks.
I am not making a
you
pick.
You said no picks.
I know I see a fabulous game that goes to overtime tonight. That's what I see.
Oh, God. Just stop.
Hey, Tony and Mike.
Next.
I wanted to know if you guys see Aaron Rodgers keeping it going this weekend against the Saints.
So this is a really big deal game because the Saints lost. They lost to the Raiders. And it looks like a bounce back game for Drew Brees. And it's a Sunday night game. And the last 10 times New Orleans has been on Sunday night, they have won. They are 10-0. Everybody's going that way. I'm going to tell you something. I believe Aaron Rodgers covets this stage as much as anyone in all of sports. And Aaron Rodgers so far this year, he's got 6 touchdown passes. He's got no interceptions. When he gets rid of the ball in under 2.5 seconds, his ratings to the wide receivers is 140.9. I'm going to go against conventional wisdom. I'm going to take Green Bay plus 3.5.
Tony, when I walked in this building in New York in the South Seaport, I was looking for my man, my dear friend and fellow Wildcat, Greeny. Because Greeny this morning on Get Up suggested that it might be time to bench Drew Brees and look at Jameis Winston on the sideline. And I was like, I'm sorry, Greeny must have been kidnapped and somebody forced him to say this. So I love Drew Brees. It's not time to do anything like panic and bench Drew Brees. It's time to just watch him get better and be great on Sunday night. But I don't go against Rodgers. It's as close as I'm going to get to a pick today. Not going against him.
You just did. You picked him.
You see the Bills beating the Rams to move to 3-0?
All right, so normally the Bills would have a tremendous advantage playing at home because it would be cold. The weather would be terrible. The weather forecast for Orchard Park, New York, 82 degrees. That's L.A. weather.
Ridiculous.
Buffalo's been very good. Josh Allen's been great. 6 touchdowns, no picks, 727 yards. Stephon Diggs has helped a lot. I was going to go Buffalo till I found out that Sean McVay, when he flies east and has a 10 o'clock body clock game, he's 5-0. And now I don't know what to do. I don't. I would say Buffalo for my upstate ties, but I don't know.
You're a traitor. You're a traitor. You dishonor your roots. You dishonor.
Sean
McVay. I'm going to praise Sean McVay.
Well,
you know what, Tony? There were people who picked Buffalo the moment TB12 went to Tampa.
That's
people
right.
People started talking about Buffalo.
Right.
You and I were skeptical, if not cynical. After a couple of games, I'm less skeptical, Tony. So I'm not going to pick them, but I'm leaning toward Buffalo, which is somewhere out there. Somewhere out there.
Can I just suggest to the producers of this show that if he's never going to make picks anymore, let's just dump the show. Let's just all go on vacation. That's it.
You're all like this. You're in an attic. Please.
In the future, I sense us discussing Ryan Fitzpatrick's big night.
And Rob Gronkowski, your boy, reveals whether coming out of retirement is what he thought it would be. It's what I thought it would be for him.
I think you had this one.
Yeah.
You haven't had any picks, but I think you've had this one.
You haven't had any picks right either.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 87th birthday, UB Brown. That's right, 87. UB Brown has been around basketball so long, he remembers when refs called walking. His career is amazing. He got his first NBA coaching job in 1972 as an assistant to Larry Costello on the Milwaukee Bucks. Conveniently, Costello was UB's teammate in college at Niagara. From there, UB jumped to the old ABA and coached the Kentucky Colonels to the ABA title in 1975. When the ABA and NBA merged and the Colonels folded, UB started coaching the Atlanta Hawks, who stunk. When UB got them to 500 in 1978, he was named Coach of the Year. Fired in Atlanta, he went to the Knicks in 1982. Fired there in 1986, UB waited 16 years for another head coaching job and got it in Memphis in 2002. Memphis stunk. So when UB got them to 50-32 in 2004 and into the playoffs for the first time in team history, he was named Coach of the Year again, 26 years after the first time. UB was almost 70 at the time. He'd already been broadcasting games on the USA Network, on CBS, on TNT, on ABC. In 2005, he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And what a thrill it is for us to see him and hear him call games on this network. Remember, UB, we kid because we love.
Tony, it was about 20 years ago when Charles Barkley first got into broadcasting game full time. And you talk about what you're going to do after playoff games. And I said, let's go over here and get some dinner. Charles goes, no. We're going to sit and listen to Hubie Brown. There's nothing better we can do. I went along because Charles suggested it. We got a daily double, I think, because we had Jack Ramsey. As you know, listening to Jack Ramsey and Hubie, what's better than that? And so I missed that in this playoff thing. This bubble doesn't have that. But if you can be where Hubie Brown is for a couple of hours late at night to the wee hours, nothing is better.
Happy anniversary, Satchel Paige. On this day 55 years ago, at age 59, Satch became the oldest person to ever play in a Major League Baseball game. The last place Kansas City A's brought him in to attract fans, and he threw 3 shutout innings against Boston. striking out one and giving up his only hit to who? Carly Yastrzemski. Satch played the old man role well. He sat in the bullpen in a rocking chair as a nurse massaged his arm. Satch liked to say, age is a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. He made his major league debut in 1948 at age 42 for the Cleveland Indians. Obviously, he had spent the greatest years of his career denied entry into the majors because of his skin color. He was the first black pitcher in the American League and the first player for the Negro Leagues to pitch in a World Series, which he did for the winning Indians in 1948. Satchel Paige was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1971.
Tony may have made his professional debut or his Major League Baseball debut in 1948. He debuted in professional baseball in 1926. And like Red Grange, he was so important to the spreading of the popularity of his sport. Grange did it barnstorming. Satchel Paige had a Satchel Paige All-Star team. And while he couldn't pitch to Joe DiMaggio wearing a Yankee uniform, he did it barnstorming. And DiMaggio is quoted as saying, Satchel Paige is the fastest and best pitcher he ever faced.
Happy trails to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sometimes the magic works, sometimes it doesn't. Last night, Ryan Fitzpatrick was Ryan Fitzmagic again, beating the Jacksonville Jaguars for the sixth time in his career. And he's beaten them for six different teams. Last night for the Dolphins, before that it was for the Bengals, the Bills, the Titans, the Texans, and the Jets. Harvard's own Fitzpatrick, who has now played for one quarter of the NFL's teams, completed his first 12 passes, finished 18 of 20 with two touchdowns for a passer rating of 133.3. And in so doing, he became just one of two players since 1948 to finish a game with at least two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, 20 yards rushing and a pass reception. And you'll never guess the other guy. It's Walter Payton. After the game, the 37-year-old Fitzpatrick donned a paisley shirt that he left largely unbuttoned, exposing a thatch of chest hair that matched his mountain man beard. Fitzpatrick called that shirt senior citizen and touristy and said of the chest hair, quote, it's probably 50-50 on whether people like it or not, but the right people in my life like the chest hair. It's okay to have it out.
Tony, it just seems to me that he's what you call a lifer. Like, he's going to be prepared. He's going to be ready. He's going to give you the best he's got. Some weeks that's not going to be good enough, but some weeks it is going to be good enough. And there's something just sort of cool about him being able to play and play for whomever asked and get it done sometime.
One error behind Wilbon is not Brooklyn. It's the FDR Drive at the southern end of Manhattan.
Yeah,
but it's not
right.
The Bronx. It's
the Bronx
not
is
the
beyond
Bronx.
That.
Let's go to
beyond
finish.
Manhattan.
Rob
right.
Gronkowski, 285 blocks up. Rob Gronkowski says he's a blocking tight end and knew what he signed up for. You buying it?
Not at all, Tony. No, it's okay. He's going to the Hall of Fame, but no. The Nats extended manager, Davey Martinez. Mr. Nat, you okay with that?
He won the World Series. The French Open starts on Sunday. You intrigued?
A little bit, Tony. I mean, you got Nadal, you got Djokovic, but you still don't have Federer. No Osaka. Lightning,
no
stars fun. Tonight. Who you got?
I'm staying with the Lightning. I'm not afraid to make a pick. Last one, SEC football begins tomorrow. You smelling any upsets?
How do we know? We don't know who's any good. There have been no non-conference games. Just watch. Stop picking. Watch the sports. Watch the games.
You're the same person who says non-conference games are too easy. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Hope your fast goes easy on Monday.